paid for yourself out of the proclamation you'd like to do tonight.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Landis has a dubious distinction of having heard this presentation before, so I'm going to do, out of deference to him, I'm going to do the short-end version to see. I thank you for the opportunity to appear before you. May 22nd through the 28th is Safe Voting Week. That's the reason for my appearance on behalf of the Cape Fear Salem Power Squadron. We're extremely fortunate to live in a coastal area where we have both saltwater and freshwater and an abundance of boating opportunities, but by the same token, along with that privilege goes some responsibility to try to practice safety as much as we can so that everyone can enjoy the water without serious mishap. The theme for this year's Boating Safety Week is Wear It, which, as it suggests, means that we are to do everything we can to convince people that regardless of age, they should be wearing a life jacket. The last statistics that we had an opportunity to check were for the year 2008. It was estimated that out of 510 boating deaths from drowning, that 90% of those who drowned were not wearing any kind of a life jacket or personal flotation device. So you can see how important it is that we do the very best we can to impress upon people the seriousness of a failure to do so. The only other thing I wanted to call your attention to before presenting the mayor's proclamation and yours is the fact that as of the 1st of May, any individual under 26 years of age who intends to operate a vessel with an engine of 10 horsepower or greater is required to take a safety course. This is thanks to a lot of folks who realize that age does have a little something to do with safety, and all of us can stand to be trained in boating safety. The classes have begun. They have been teaching them the power squadrons, the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and the Wildlife Commission are all teaching these courses. So if you hear anybody who's complaining about it, tell them to check those sites, and they will be able to rapidly get the education that they need to be able to operate a 10 or greater horsepower engine. The proclamation. And as I read this, it takes just a little bit of time, but any of you who have been a member of either the Coast Guard Auxiliary or a power squadron, or have taken a boating course either over the internet or in a classroom situation, we'd appreciate it if you'd stand with me as I read this proclamation. Proclamation is as follows. The town of Curie Beach, North Carolina. Whereas boating is a large recreational activity of the residents of this community, and whereas the saving of lives and protection of boats and marine property is the legal and moral responsibility of every boater, and whereas it is both desirable and necessary to remind all boaters from time to time of their responsibilities and the constant need for safe boating practices. Now, therefore, I, Dean Lambeth, Mayor of the town of Curie Beach, North Carolina, do hereby join with the President of the United States in proclaiming the week of May 22nd through May 28, 2010, as National Safe Boating Week. I sincerely urge all boaters and boating organizations to consider this occasion as an opportunity to renew their determination to use courtesy and common sense afloat at all times. To this end, I urge all boaters to review their boating practices and correct or eliminate those which may be unsafe, to check their boats for safe and proper operation, and to make repairs where needed. To inspect their boats requires safety equipment, personal flotation devices, extinguishers, visual distress signals, and the like, and to make certain that they meet U.S. Coast Guard requirements and are on board at all times. To complete a course in basic boat handling and safety as offered by the United States Power Squadrons and the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. To have a United States Power Squadron or Coast Guard Auxiliary vessel safety check completed on my vessel. To respect the rights of other boaters, observe no wake zones and other aids to navigation, and to pledge to continue the spirit of National Safe Boating Week throughout the boating season. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the town of Cary Beach, North Carolina, to be affixed this the 18th day of May 2010, Dean Lambeth, Mayor. I thank you. I thank you for your attention, and particularly thank you for going through this one more time.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, you'll see the Lyme Disease Awareness Month. I was asked to be a guest speaker in Raleigh last week on a Lyme Disease conference. And my wife and daughter are actually in a movie that was made about Lyme disease. Wake County has recognized that they have Lyme disease cases now. And I would like to read this proclamation. Y'all there with us? Whereas ticks carrying the bacteria Borrelia burgdorferi that causes Lyme paralysis, commonly known as Lyme's disease, continues to spread across North Carolina. And whereas the number of reported cases of Lyme's disease among residents of North Carolina has steadily increased, yet the Centers of Disease Control estimates on an average there are 10 missed cases for every case reported. And whereas Lyme's disease is difficult to diagnose because it imitates other conditions and no reliable laboratory tests can prove who is infected or bacterial free, which often leads to misdiagnosis. And whereas early indicators of infection include flu-like symptoms characterized by chills, headache, fatigue, muscle and joint aches, and swollen lymph nodes. And whereas weeks or months later, patients with untreated or undertreated Lyme disease can suffer from serious, permanent, and sometimes life-threatening damage to the brain, joints, heart, eyes, liver, spleen, blood vessels, and kidneys. For this reason, it is imperative that all who develop this disease receive immediate treatment. And whereas the best solution to the threat of Lyme disease is to educate people about the seriousness of the illness and the need to practice personal preventative techniques when engaging in outdoor activities such as frequent tick checks, use of tick repellent, and proper tick removal. And whereas the month of May is recognized nationally as Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and now, therefore, Dean Lambeth, the mayor of the town of Cary Beach, North Carolina, hereby proclaim that May 2010 is Lyme Disease Awareness Month for the town of Cary Beach to draw attention to this growing health problem and the importance of early detection and treatment of all residents. And as it stands right now, my daughter was the first one whose death certificate reads that she died from complications from Lyme disease. Thank y'all. Thank you. Persons to address council, Ms. Nancy.
Okay. First one is Paula Withrow. I first of all just want to thank the council for permitting the committee, this annual street festival, to have the festival again this year. And I will personally, especially, thank Dean Lambeth because I broke my shoulder right before the festival, and the poor man had to work there from 11 o'clock to 9 and help climb up there and make the announcements and everything. Really, he did work really hard, and I do want to thank Dean for that. And as usual, because every year for the last 4 years, the police department, the fire department, and public works department have done an absolute marvelous job, and we've heard nothing but compliments about how clean they've kept the city, about what a great job each one of them have done, and the work that Carol did for our music and so forth. All of them have done a beautiful job, and I want to just take this opportunity to thank everybody. And my dream really for the festival was that we would have a family festival. I didn't want it to ever be a beer festival or a wine festival. I wanted it town to be recognized as being a family festival, a family beach. And I think we exceeded that this year because we had something like between 300 and 400 children this year, and people would come out to the park, and they just couldn't believe that Curie Beach was offering them an opportunity for their children to ride. They would come out and say, how much do I have to pay? And we say, no. And they said, well, who's paying? And they said, well, Curie Beach is putting on this festival. And the children could jump and have a wonderful time, and there was no charge. And they just really couldn't believe it. So I feel like the 300 or 400 children really are appreciative, too, to the council for allowing this festival to go on this year. And then I want to take 1 minute more and tell you that I'm change hats here and tell you that I'm also now joined the Parks, Curie Beach Parks and Recreation Committee, and I'm working on two trips, and I just want to bring it up to the audience and also the council. The one trip is at Tryon Palace in Newburn, and it's going to be October the 7th, and one is at the Palace in Myrtle Beach, which is the Christmas on Ice with the Winter Olympic stars in the show, and it's going to be December the 2nd, and these tickets are now available, and I hope if you can't come, you'll spread the word that we are having these bus trips available to Curie Beach, and that's another thing that the town's offering. They're not doing it, they're doing it at cost, so it's really for the citizens, so I encourage everybody to come and get this. It's a great price. The trip to Tryon Palace with the bus, the tip, and the tour is $34. And the trip to for at Christmas time for the Ice Capade show, the bus and the tip for the bus driver is $45. And you really can't go anywhere and get that kind of price. It's through Curie Beach that it's being offered. Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else sign up?
Yes, Jerry Bigley.
Mr. Bigley.
Good evening, Council. Thank you for letting me speak here this evening. For those who don't know me, I came to this island 36 years ago. I'm an ex-Marine and retired from the United States Air Force. I came here with $500 and my Air Force retirement check. I own this small convenience store down here along the corner down here for about 28 years now. When I first started, I didn't even know how to spell convenience, and I went all the way to the store. The reason I'm here tonight is on these two machines that I have. In the last 3 years, I spent over $300,000 on the store down here to upgrade it. I'm the only one that's open during a hurricane. I have a $30,000 generator in the back to operate the whole store. And with those two machines I have, it also allows me to hire another half-time person. And everything in my store, I pay tax on. I'm an accessory operator, not a one person just has games and sells, I mean, and play. And every one of my phone cards, it has a prepaid 7% sales tax already paid on it. Every card in my store is always already paid with sales tax. I went to a meeting the other night, and also to let you know that every year, October, November, December, January, and part of February, I lose money. But I still stay open because I'm the voter of this town, because they helped me make me what I am this today. And I wouldn't close, but this little bit of money here, which is about 5% average, is what I make, okay? Another bit of 5% helps me pay my bills during these slow winter months down here, whatever else is closed, but I'm still open. And I keep all these employees paid up through all winter months too. I went to a town council meeting the other night at Carolina Beach with the majority of the council there and the planning and zoning board. And they accepted my recommendation on accessory game machines, $250 per machine. But if you have a machine like an internet cafe, that's all you have, that you don't contribute no money to anything at all, this is going to be a lot higher. And personally, I think it'll probably be $1,000 more maybe. But I think $250 per machine is very, very fair price to operate in the town in Curie Beach, and it gives me able to keep another part-time employee. It helps me pay my bills and helps me keep open during the wintertime. And you got to take into consideration, too, that's a lot of money for a generator, just like the service of the people at Curry Beach during a hurricane. And I'm going on 77 years old. I thank God for every day. But I'm down here all those days during a hurricane, too. I love this town. I just wish you would take that into consideration when you go for a tax. Well, how much you going to charge one of those machines? And I also know that in Raleigh, I have a few friends up there. I think that up there they might come up with a solution during this session. I'm not saying that they are, but I believe if they do, it'll be controlled by the lottery also. Where the towns would get 10% back and the states would get 15%, but it'll all be regulated. So I just ask your consideration, please. $250, you don't have 1,000 machines down here. Maybe 7, 8 of my code. So whatever you can do to help us, we sure would appreciate it. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. We're going to discuss this a little bit later tonight. Next.
Anybody else?
That's it.
Okay,
Dan? I signed up earlier with Casey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fine.
I'm here on the same subject for Curie Properties, which represents the Arcade, and Robertson Enterprises, which represents the Pier. There are actually a total of 6 machines. Mr. Bigley's got 2, and there are 4 of them at the Arcade. It's critical that you do something tonight because the privileged license tax is May 30th to May 30th. And the ordinance that you passed, there's some ambiguity as to whether or not it also affects the arcade games, which have been around for a long time. I think that I know that council has made it possible for Andy and I to meet on Thursday to try and find some language that would address the arcade games. I don't believe it was your intent last week or last month to impose this tax on the arcades games, which are covered by a separate fee and pay it every month. But if nothing is done, the interpretation is that the arcade games are covered, essentially it'll put the arcade out of business, but they can't afford that. I don't think anybody wants the arcade to leave. Excuse me. As to the sweeps machines, I don't think that it was so much your intent to get these 6 machines. In fact, I know some of the people in this room didn't even know that those machines existed at the time that this was voted on. I think it was more preventive for perhaps things that might happen out of the way. I don't believe that there has ever been a complaint filed with any town agency regarding the operation of Mr. Bigler's machines or the machines of my clients. I don't think they've been a nuisance in town. I don't think they serve any ill purpose. They are completely legal in the state of North Carolina. The machines at the arcade average net is about $2,500 a year. Under the current tax scheme, it would be very close to a 100% tax, and I don't think that's appropriate for any business. I think there are a lot of alternatives to solve the problems that you may perceive with the internet cafe that don't impact the machines that are already standing. You can limit them to 4. You can limit them to accessory uses. You can do something with your zoning law that would address that. And as a practical matter, given the cost that it would take to come down and build a freestanding building that was just internet, or I don't know that there'd be another building that could be taken over, and given the small amount of business there would be right now, just practically it isn't something that could be done. I really think that there's a lot going on in the state and in the legislature regarding this. There are lawsuits, there's legislative proposals, and the town will not suffer at all if it simply delays the implementation of the ordinance that you passed last month, until this can be worked out. And I'd be glad to work with Andy not only on the language for the arcade games, but also with the sweeps at such time that was appropriate to try and do something that allows my clients to continue to operate that business. I will tell you this, I will tell you that on their own, they screened them so they're not visible to the younger people who may be playing the arcade games. And I will tell you that Mike turned down the distributor's request to perhaps put some in the pier house simply because he didn't feel that it was appropriate. It is something that is under control from within by the business community, and it is not doing the town any harm. And essentially, this tax would force Mike to remove all those, cost him revenue, which of course impacts the kind of fragile status that everybody knows all those businesses operate under, and also deprives the town of a source of income that the town can always use. So I think there's a way to resolve this. I think that perhaps you didn't have all the information at the time you passed this ordinance, and all I'm asking tonight is that you do something tonight to delay the implementation date so we don't manufacture a crisis when tax bills go out that doesn't need to be manufactured. Thank you very much.
Dan, if you don't mind, just stay there for a second, please.
Yes, sir.
The town attorney was in a seminar Thursday. When were you in the seminar with the other town attorney?
It was Friday.
Friday, last week, and it was brought to his attention that there is some gray areas in the situation as you discussed, and that's why I recommended him to meet with you, because what we were going by was some rules that another town had adopted, but those may be void after the implementation of some new stuff. So I would like to ask Andy for his recommendation as the town attorney if we need to stay this ordinance or the best way to do it, just put a stop to this until we can go into a little bit more study, and also if we can get a ruling by one of the courts in this situation.
Well, I would recommend stay the implementation of the tax that we imposed on these machines until such time as we come up with a viable solution that answers all of the questions that are being asked throughout the state by case and by the legislature.
Would tabling this be appropriate?
Well, we've already voted on, so we'll have to vote to stay.
Well, see, we need to advise the front office to not implement this tax at this time, because at the end of this month, they're due. So, until such time as we get a clear-cut answer.
So, if I was to say, I would like to make a motion that we stay the
implementation.
Thank you. Of this
tax
till further information.
Till we report back to county.
Okay. I make that motion.
Chuck, were you a second?
You have to ask what happens next. Decided in July or August that we want to implement, then what can we do that?
Yes.
Do you vote that?
Yes.
Okay. Second motion.
All in favor, assume by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Dan. And you and Andy will spend some time Thursday. And a lot of this is contingent upon how the litigation works out in the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. He's bringing the donuts.
Jerry, are you still here?
Yes, sir.
And I would like to say Jerry
did call
town hall and ask if there were any problems with installing the machines that installed it to work on it. So thanks for going to the trouble actually calling and checking, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
And we'll stay in this until we get the finding of facts from the attorneys and the lawsuits being laid down. Thank you.
That was very fair. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bob Simons is next to address council, and Bob had actually been called into work a little bit late tonight, and as the liaison to the Parks and Recreation Committee, what he actually wanted to discuss from the, is when we start the budget process, to have a fair and equitable cost for parks and recs for use of the community service, so he'll be here for those who need it. Anybody have any questions? It was just to make sure the parks and recs were paying their way with the community center, and there wasn't any type of problem with the cost of the building.
No.
So he'll be here for some of the budget stuff.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Well, and Tim is liaison to the community center, so I would like to ask Tim to work with Bob and another his committee member of leaders to come out with an equitable price for the use of the community center so that it doesn't make a burden on the ladies who do such a great job raising funds to try to take the cost of it. Is that agreeable to everybody? Tim, is that agreeable to you?
Yep.
Thank you. Approval of the consent agenda. Is everybody ready for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signal saying aye.
Aye.
And adoption of the agenda.
I have one item I'd like to add.
Yes, sir.
Committee minutes.
Under what?
Committee minutes.
Under
old business, old business, I guess.
And that would be item number 7, committee minutes.
Correct.
Is that agreeable? Under all the business, item number 8. And we can do this at the end of the meeting if y'all would like, but I would like to go into executive session for personnel. Just a few minutes. Item number 8 under old business.
Is that related to number 6?
Yes, it would be in conjunction with number 6.
I was going to suggest that we just move number 6 down to the end of the agenda and go into executive session.
Is that amenable with everybody to do that? They want to delete 6 or move 6 to the executive session from the list of any kind.
So 6 becomes 9.
6 becomes
10.
Well, executive session under new business. You have any changes? Under old business, if y'all will commit, under item 5, we have the Rivers and Revenue Architectural Landscape Contract. And I'd like to segue into the RFP for the architectural selection for the building design for the park. And I think it would be appropriate to have a rest of those at that time. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. And I assume everybody got the stuff from Engineering Services and Robots. Any other changes, gentlemen?
Number 8 of the new business needs to be tabled, but I don't know what I want in for my cases.
Yes,
sir. That's that collect, though?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's in your agenda packet, sir.
Well, just
if you're not comfortable. Casey is more familiar with this, if y'all would like to.
Why don't we table it?
Table. Okay. I would like to, while we're...
You need to table it when you get to it.
Okay. Is that it, fellas? Gentlemen? Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I make a motion that we adopt the agenda as amended.
I'll second that. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Agenda's approved. Department head items. Dennis, are you?
You are.
No, John, you go first?
Just real quick, just let everyone know, it's not in the paper, I don't think it will be. As y'all know, we do have county units here in our police department. We've had as many as three. My dog's now retired and has an easy life. Our other dog is out. Jesse Cummings is a national rank dog. That dog died unexpectedly back last February, and we replaced that dog with Rocky. With Jason's old dog Chess, we placed fourth in nationals. He also won a regional trials outright, classified as top dog. Jason's had this dog about 6 months. We sent him down to Savannah, Georgia for yearly certification, which is a 4-day event. And he brought back another little pair of 11 trophies. And he won top dog again with this new dog. So that's two top dogs we've won. Obedience, which Jason's trying to exercise with him now. Agility, we did a suspect search, which is very difficult. There's an article search, which is also very difficult. There's apprehension with what we call a stray bite or stray apprehension. And we have apprehension with gunfire, which tests the dog's courage and stability. And we can demonstrate most of that. And I was going to ask the mayor, if you take off running through that door, we'll demonstrate the fight. His normal 12-hour shifts here, gets off the field in the morning, he'll train with daylight. It's what he does. He loves it, and he's very good at it. To win two regional titles within 2 years of each other is just, you just don't do that around here. And here we are, the two. So, Mr. Buck.
Does Rocky, just tell me he's not playing with a stuffed animal anymore. Tell me he got rid of that.
That's the secret to success.
Over in the police department and in town, the police department always around 5 to 1 there. Like killing a table with those to sit down and talk with us about what we do with canines and how it works. And talk to Jason, feel free. But that's our new dog. He's a puppy, and that dog, the Tate Top Dog, is just an incredible achievement. And Jason, I can't be more proud of you, man. Jason came to work with us about 10 years ago. We hadn't even started shaving yet. Supervisor is one of the best county handlers in the country. And man, y'all really, really need to be proud of Jason for what he's done. It is an awesome, awesome accomplishment.
To have a dog that's misbehaving in front of everyone, to have the community support, because I have seen going these trials for the last 7 or 8 years, without the community support, the program fails in less than a year. I've always had council support. I hope I continue to get your support. And what I do, maybe one day, if this dog matures a little bit, we'll bring this Cherry Beach a national title. That's going to be my goal. We'll see if I ever get there. But it'd be fun to say our 3-mile town is the next best dog. Regionally, I'll accept that too, because I'm very proud. The dog's done most of the work. I just got to stand there. But, you know, I'm out here with him every night when I'm working. I know that he's deterred crime over and over, you know, just by making noise and barking. I even had suspects tell me, we're not going to come down here because of the dog. Fine. Whatever they want to believe, if he's out here, I'm good with. So I just want to thank everybody. If you ever have any questions or want something shown or want to see the dog, please let me know and we'll work it out. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Brian,
thanks, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Page 65 in your agenda.
Just real quick, this is in reference to our meeting last month. We had talked about increasing the fine for following on the beach. And I reviewed the ordinance, and the section we put that under, the fine is $25 for the first offense, and the second offense is a misdemeanor charge. And then I noticed in the minutes from the continued meeting the next day that y'all voted to leave the fine amount at $25. So I told y'all I'd review it, check it out. I think it's fine the way it is, and that's what I'm up here to tell you.
And Dan, are you going to contribute any of your royalties from the phone song to help anybody gets fined?
You bet.
Okay, thank you.
I wondered who originated that. I heard it on the news this evening. It just pulled a couple
of you. Yeah, I heard the job.
Good job.
Hello.
Mr. Fire Chief.
Yes, sir.
I just want to let you know that we lost two life guard men over in winter to the Northeasters, and they've been very built. Put back on the beach. We'll stand them up at the end of this week. Put the tops on. Lifeguards are in the process of being hired this week. Got a pretty good crew. We got a real good return. Of the 30 people, 18 are returning. Well, we had 20 of them returned, and 10 are new people. But of the 10, 9 of them come through our junior lifeguard program. And that's another subject. We signed up the junior lifeguard program during the street festival, and it filled up in about 2.5 hours. And now I have people wanting to run another one, which we haven't picked the dates for a second one, but we will run a second one to accommodate the citizens that have children that want to go through the program. Yes, sir.
I hope we'll get a hold of the lady that was kind of upset.
I think we already have. In fact, we've got 3 people coming by tomorrow to pick up applications for the second term. So it really worked whenever well. And other than that, onward and upward. I know there's going to be a calm here this year. The last two Memorial Days have been rough. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Aye. Under all the business, Economic Development Studies update from PNC. Callum, Bob, are you here?
I don't think.
Do you have anything to add other than? Yeah. Is there anything that you need to add other than the slap?
I think what PNC is interested in is the later agenda item for the work session.
Thank you, sir. Tony, would you like to step up to the podium?
We updated the list that we received last meeting, our SLAP meeting, and I put a copy in everybody's box.
Yes, sir.
We updated it, and we changed some items around. There's 10 items. Item number one, we were looking at adding 75 parking spaces on Avenue I, which is $50 per space. Times 75, which is $3,750. Designated parking spaces, Fort Fisher Boulevard. That is with DOT. DOT is supposed to be putting in the vertical lines along Fort Fisher. And then Sunny will come back and put the horizontal lines to make the parking spaces. The bike racks and the beach accesses, we'll have to walk through with Public Works, because there's a little discrepancy on those items. And pedestrian signal, K Avenue, that is pending with DOT, and they are going to do another study on their own. And parking at the Corral, pending more information. Chuck and myself, we met with DOT, and we're not quite sure what the outcome was. We were looking at expanding the right-of-way at the AT&T, making the driveway bigger, where you would be able to come off of K Avenue, use that entrance, and then go out the other entrance or exit. So that's still up in the air. And then, of course, if we add parking in there, we would have to use the concrete bumpers, which are $50 per space. Okay, create 5 pedestrian crossings. One would be the Air Force Recreation Area, 2 would be E Avenue, 3 would be I Avenue, 4 would be Curie Beach Way, and 5 would be Curie Dunes. The DOT, we told them we had roughly 17 locations to choose from, and they said that we could choose five. So our committee went out there and there are the five that we chose. With the signage that's in the road, and painting the crosswalks, it's roughly around $1,000 per crossing, which would be a total of $5,000. Improved sidewalks on the south side. There's a grant out there from DOT, and we're pending more information. I have to get with Chuck. We have to give him maps and areas of what we want to do, and we have to see how that was conformed into a grant process. Also, Sonny is working with the gentleman who does the concrete work to come up with a money price for that. The ninth one is developing a parking map for the TDA marketing committee. What we have to do is get your okay to work with town staff. And if we don't know if it's going to cost money, if we finally come up with a design, if we want it in a map form or just paper-wise on a computer. So we have to get your okay to see if we can work with someone to start that process.
Tony, could you, for the folks in the audience, elaborate a little bit on number nine, what this actually means, this map?
With that, right now there's I don't know if I have it with me. On a computer, it tells you all the entrances. It doesn't give you the numbers of the entrances. It gives you the letters and whether they're handicap accessible, whether they have a bike rack. They give you the amount of parking spaces that are there. And we want to improve it where it would be a little easier for people to read and understand. So when they come visiting, they could hit Curie Beach, look it up on a computer, and make a copy and take it with them. What we also want to do with that, once we start developing parking, we want to add that also. So, you know, say we put parking on 6th Street, it would be on that map, and people would be directed to that area. It's a little bit more of a help for them, you know, to get to the areas that, you know, we want them to go to. That's basically what the town has now, and it's not very good, you know, with somebody pulling that up on a computer and trying to decipher what we have. So we want to improve it. That's what the town has now. So that's what we want to improve, but, you know, we have to get your blessings to see who in town hall would help us to do that.
Actually, Tony, I think that the TDA Marketing Committee has resources through the TDA. They developed the marketing website, and they came up with the map that we already have. And I think that we need to coordinate that with the TDA Marketing Committee.
Okay.
It would be the fastest and most direct route, because they already have a map. And it would just be a matter of that.
Adding. Okay.
Is that correct, Ann? I know. Are you still? You're still on the TDA marketing. Aren't you?
Yes.
So y'all have the map, and then the TDA does the marketing website.
Correct. And it's the CDB, and that's totally accessible. It's also on the Pleasure Island, so we could probably have the symbols on there. And then when someone goes in and taps into it, it would have all of the Curie Beach. If someone's tapping into
All right, we'll start looking into that and see what we come up with.
Ann, could you work with Tony on this, please?
Tony! Yeah.
And then number 10 is add the parking signs in town. Because when the tourists come, they have no idea where to park. Labor is $50. The sign is roughly 25, and the channel is 38. It comes out to $113 per sign. When we looked at it originally, if we added all the parking, the 300 spaces and stuff, we came up with maybe 27 the 28th signs. We've already got the blessing from DOT that we could put them on Fort Fisher Boulevard, and they will not take them down, which is a big thing, because Sonny said if you put them up, they will take them down if you don't get their blessing. Two other outstanding ones, other than our list here, the N Avenue, what we were talking about is covering the stones that are on N Avenue with asphalt and remarking. Sonny got a price of $5,946. That's not on the list. This is on the overall 25 that we have.
And that would add how many spaces? 1,700 or?
It's hard to say, but it might add maybe 9 to 10, and depending on how we, you know, it angles out.
And that would take it back to a one-lane road.
Yes, and it would make it end going out one way, which still has to be with the fire department, the police department. We still have other things. That was just the start of it, to see how much it would cost for the asphalt. We still have, I guess, have open
this
meetings.
This is a work in progress. Have you talked to the gentleman's house on the corner?
No, we did not talk to anyone, because basically this was on our list of 25 items, which was cut down. And I know the budget is tight, so it's up to the five of you to tell us exactly if you want us to do this to start the process. Nothing is set in stone. There's a process to everything. We're only doing the footwork. Like I said, we have to check with Dennis and Harold to make sure it's okay and stuff like that. We're not assuming that this is a go item. The other item would be asphalt parking at Eats Park. And that is from our property line on Eats Park, not the federal. And that came out to $17,465. And that's asphalt. We're ripping out, you know, putting in new stoneage and stuff like that. And it's $350 to put lines on the new asphalt. And that's on our property line at Eats Park. So what we need, I guess, from the council is for you to let us know, according to the budget, which ones we could do, start, not do, switch them around. But we should do something. I know money is tight, but if we don't do anything this year, it's just that we had another study done, and we're sitting on doing nothing again. Just like the other studies that we had, nothing was done with the other studies, which is a sin. Even if we move forward a little bit, at least it's progress. That's basically what I have. You just have to let us know which way you want us to go. I don't know if you want us to go to a budget meeting or whatever. I don't know how much or when we get the okay to do this, if one or two or none of them. Do you have any idea when you could give us?
Well, we're planning to hope to adopt the budget June 15th. And there will be at least one more work session, and I think probably two. I'm going to ask the council to schedule another one tonight between now and then.
So, all right, so by June 15th, we'll know what our list of 10 or whatever ones that you want out of our list of 25, if you want things changed.
One suggestion I would have, Tony, is the N Avenue parking.
Yes, sir.
When you talk with Dennis and Harold, and this is something they think is feasible, I would recommend that we just stone it with no asphalt, but change the parking, and let's try it first before we spend the money on asphalt.
We could do,
right? That's just my suggestion. It's your committee.
No, we could do
I'd
that.
I'd rather try it first before.
We could try that. Also, we did bring it up, and I think we forgot to bring it up with DOT, but doing the compact cars between 3rd and 4th, and also that has to go between Harold and Dennis, and, you know, get their opinion on what they would like. We could change those there, add parking for compact cars on the other two areas.
Well, the reason I brought it up is we we agreed to remove the tennis courts, and there should be about a 6-inch stone base under them, which they're going to replace. And I would like to use that if it's possible, and maybe do what you want to do on Ann Avenue, and just move that stone over here and let's try.
Well, there's stone there. There is stone.
There's stone. I think it's going to be enough.
It might be enough if we, you know.
If we need it, let's try to use some of that over there. If you work on that Sunday, I appreciate it.
And I think that's it. Any questions? Yes.
Which way are you going to, or which way are they planning on the parking on end? I mean, you said it's going to be a one-way
coming
this way.
It's coming out the Fort Fisher.
Okay, so then it would be slotted.
It would be slotted this way towards Fort Fisher.
And the other one would be limited on the parking, including the county jet.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Gilbert.
In out, there's going to be one way. What's that going to put the Atlantic Avenue traffic? So that we have to increase the traffic on Atlantic Avenue, wouldn't
you? Well, all that's going to have to be taken into consideration. It's pretty much one way now. I mean, most of the people parking there just go in there to park. But that's the stuff that Tony will have to discuss with Dennis and Harold and work out the detail.
Okay.
Mr. Canutis?
Yes, sir.
Room occupancy tax.
Oh, I was asking
a question for Gilbert Brother.
Yeah, that was the question of whether we could get out of the second part of the ROT. And I looked it up. The act itself says that you can get out of these things by adopting a resolution. It must take place on the first of the month, and it must be implemented on your first month of the calendar year for your budget. That is, it would have to take place, you couldn't implement it to take place until after July 1, or before July 1.
Gentlemen?
Just exactly how much money would the town be losing if it avoided this tax? I mean, you know.
Well, for starters, we'd have to pay the lifeguards out of the general fund. It's about
$165,000,
$170,000.
Barry,
how many rooms do you have in Jersey?
Yeah.
I have no idea, Gilbert. But,
we have received paperwork from the agencies that told us that the money for rental housing is going up and the money for rooms is dropping. But they also said the reason the rooms are dropping is because the number of rooms are getting less and less.
What? Jim actually did a pretty intensive study of the TDA collections, and going by the numbers that they have, you can actually see when the rooms actually do a flip-flop, when actually the spots are running, and you can see this in their receipts, that more motel rooms are rented than less houses. So $165,000 is, you know, the important part that we're looking at, I think, because with the economic conditions right now, I don't think the town could take a hit of trying to supply lifeguards and other things that this money is used for. So would someone like to make a motion to discuss this any further, or would y'all like to keep the TDA as it is?
I would, at this point in time, like to keep the TDA like it is. I don't know that we could afford to take, in our budget constraints, I don't know that we could afford to take that kind of a hit this year.
No idea how we replace it.
Yeah.
Other than increased taxes.
I mean, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to have to increase the taxes on everybody else, because if we cut out the taxes that the tourists were paying.
So you make a motion to proceed as we're doing now?
We don't need a motion.
You don't need
a motion. I don't know that we need a motion.
You don't need to do anything.
We need a motion to repeat it. Okay. But we don't need a motion if we're going to just need documents.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Andy.
Yes.
John, you want to come back up to the podium for a second? Discussion and consideration of parking restriction for Big Daddy's Restaurant following a public hearing.
After the PNZ meeting about the subject, we found out that this discussion doesn't really need to take place. When I came to y'all at the public hearing, it was the same. Basically, I'll explain what happened. Big Daddy's came to us and wanted to increase their occupancy by adding an exterior deck to your restaurant. They're adding an additional 60 seats. By ordinance, that means they would have to add another 15 parking spaces for cars. However, according to 19-246, parking restrictions for B1. Parking restrictions are null and void for any business other than tourist lodgings or residential uses. So once we discovered that, pretty much a moot point, and I really need to discuss it any further.
See, Dennis, when you pull that door shut, we're getting a fair infestation of no seats up here. Thank you, sir.
I see.
Oh. Visible no ceilings.
Okay, do we have any discussion pertaining to the parking restriction for Big Daddy's according to John? And did you issue the building permit today?
I served the issue tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, personally, I think it's taken care of.
Okay, and I think the only problem you had after clarification of the ordinance, John, was a couple little things with their building permit because of being in the fire district. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Did they have to take the vote back then?
Yes, sir. The vote's got to come down.
Mr. Hagler?
Yes, sir. So I'm here just to see if the council's will is to accept the 2010 emergency management plan. It should be in your package. Yes. The only changes were to address training issues required by FEMA, so we get reimbursed if we have a problem. So if you look, Casey should have given you handouts and send you to Annex C. I don't know if you printed the whole plan or just Annex C, but Annex C just shows the training requirements. We're pretty good on the training requirements this year. All the department heads went to 300 and 400. We had classes in February and March. I think some of you guys still have some computerized training to do for 100 and 800.
700.
I'm not looking at exactly, but maybe it is 700. 700. Sorry about that, sir. If you have any problems, log on, let me know. Send me an email. I've got instructions. Casey should have some instructions, too. But it's pretty straightforward. Any questions on the changes? And I got no proposed changes from any citizens to incorporate this year, so the plan is basically the same as it's been for the last 2 years. And the only changes were just to address FEMA required updates to their training plan. And once you...
Motion to accept.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Dave.
Excellent. So we'll get Casey to turn it into a PDF and post it on the website just like in the past. The second issue is the hurricane brochure, which is also attached. Through the budget constraints, what I talked with Casey, if it's the council's will, we'll email that out to the town distribution list, and then we'll have copies available in town hall for personnel to pick up if they want, instead of trying to do a mass mailing for the cost. So I updated it with the new shelter numbers and with the number for emergency management for New Hunter County. If there's any changes you would like to it, just let me know. Otherwise, I'll let Casey know. We'll get it emailed out probably in early June. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your work on this.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dugan, your next item.
Yes, sir. The Withers and Ravenel landscaping contract. When we discussed the Withers and Ravenel contract for the park at our continued council meeting last month, after discussion among council and Withers and Ravenel people, there were some significant changes. So we're now bringing back to you the contract that has the changes. It will be for landscape architecture, which will include site amenities, traffic design for Atlantic Avenue, lighting plan, green or sustainable paving material selection, coordinating with engineering services on the storm drainage layout, site design, grading plan, and the landscape plan itself. And the price that was decided on, that was asked for by council at that point was
$29,750.
Yeah, that'd be $29,750. And I move we accept the amended document.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thanks. And while we're on that subject, in your package, you'll see a note of your services. And what this would entail would be engineer services preparing a draft request for an RFP for architectural services. And for the audience's information, the architectural design services for the buildings was taken out of the initial contract one Jim was referring to. I have got engineer services original contracts in front of me. A lot of this stuff and what you have in your packets is basically, we're talking to engineer services as a menu, and we can choose any, all of it or none of it for what we would like them to do in preparation for the selection of an architect for the design work of the building. And I hope everybody's had time to read this. And taking this and flipping back with their agreement for engineering services for the Oceanfront Property Development Construction Administration, a lot of the things overlap, but I would like to make a motion to spend the first $1,600 for the preparation of an RFP from engineering services so we can actually start the ball rolling for selecting an architect to design the building.
And that's going to be funded out of the grant funds?
It's supposed to be.
Second.
Motion. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. More than the rest of the discussion, like I said, this is a menu to send out the RFP to prospective architects. Several of these things I think we can do in-house. But this was it. They wanted their remarks to me were if we didn't want to handle any of it, they would, and this is what would occur. But I, like I said, other than preparing the RFP, I think most of this stuff in conjunction with the contract we've already got with them, and then what we can do in house, we can probably do without spending any more money. Thank you. item number six now. It was going to be seven committee minutes.
Yeah, pretty simple. It used to be that we used to have minutes sent to us or put in our packets or something, and somehow that's gone by the wayside. And unless an individual councilman goes requesting an individual set of minutes, we're not really sure what it is that that committee may be doing at any given time. I don't know whether it's a problem with anybody else, but I would like to see some kind of central location, whether it's put in our agenda packets or put in our boxes as the minutes come into town hall or whatever, just that we keep an up-to-date reading of the minutes by everybody in the council.
I don't really know why they were excluded from our packets. I don't remember us.
I don't ever remember making any.
No. I would like to compliment Casey. This is the first agenda packet using the printer we've got that we are being printed on both sides of the paper. We'd save, at least half of what we're up here tonight. And she's also using the printer to number the pages, which hadn't been done before, so we can always cross-reference what we're talking to. But we'll have a recommendation for the town clerk to include the minutes in the packet, which I'd like to have. What's your pleasure?
Anybody read it?
Yeah, the difference if the minutes would be emailed to each of the councilmen, and then if they wanted to read them, they could, rather than printing them out five times.
I don't have a problem with that either, but right now, if I want minutes to anything, I have to come here and ask for...
Whatever.
If it's on our website, I'm on the
Well, maybe we ought to see what we knew about speeding up the process.
Mr. Bowman, would you like to make a recommendation that the ministry email to us when they proceed? Or would you like to watch your...
No, if email, especially if email is better for staff to be able to get them out to us, and it also saves a tree here and there, I'm all for that.
Thank you.
Yes, Priscilla.
Okay, I'm secretary on three different committees. I email the minutes to Casey, and I email the minutes to the council liaison for those committees. If you want me to email them to all of you on those three committees, give me the emails. I'll do it.
Thank you.
And which committees, Donna's?
I'm on beautification, beach protection, and slush.
Chandler,
right there.
So you don't mind doing that, already mail.
I have tins, I have chucks, I have batteries, but I don't have new furniture.
They're on our cards, so we'll get them.
Okay.
So, do you have any idea why they stopped including them in our package?
No, I don't. I have them. My meeting's on Tuesday by Thursday. I've done the minutes that are gone out. And then what they do after that, I know they do put it on the webpage. Where you can pull it up there. Okay. But I PDF it right now.
And you get the minutes current, rather than waiting to the middle of the month, right after our meeting, that Thursday or Friday,
you know
what we're doing or what's been discussed. It gives you time to address if you see an issue there, versus when you come to a meeting, you're already into the third week.
A little late.
It's a little late if you have a problem with what we're doing.
And the minutes are always available within 2 or 3 days of the meeting.
That's for your concern.
Okay, well then we can just say email is...
Now the other committees you have to talk to, because those are the only three committees out here.
Just say that email is so far is the preferred form, and we can work out whether it comes from the committees or from town hall.
An executive decision.
That's it.
All right, Mr. Keener.
I'd like to add two. I've been told by two department heads I have to check with the other two. that this packet that goes out every month, that they would be fine with that being on email if there's no trees and packets for the department.
There are 90% of it doesn't involve any specific department.
If they see something there that does, they can come in and get the information for it.
Or they can print it out on their printer. You know, whatever a little bit they want to see printed out. I'm all for saving trees.
John, what do you think of, you get a package, right?
Committee meeting? Oh, yes, sir.
He doesn't read it.
Do you need it?
Not all the time. I'm learning to read.
He's taking a reading class.
It's interesting, but the only thing I really use is what's pertinent to me. Yes, sir.
Would you be good at that thing?
Yeah.
You're welcome. I'll take one second and work on the next page.
I have a question about that, though. How does that have any effect on the official record of the meeting? I mean, because if the packet with all the attachments now is the official record of the meeting, and that packet, as it represents the official record of the meeting, isn't actually distributed to the members of the council, does that have any implications?
We're talking about the minutes,
as far as I know.
So we're still going to make this book.
That was my assumption.
Okay.
For the council.
Okay. Well, I was unclear on that. Yeah. Department heads over.
No, as far as I know, we were talking strictly about the committee minutes.
Okay.
No, I think it's been generalized to all of the attachments.
I'm suggesting that the department heads receive this packet and email. Possibly, I need some of the committee plan that the chairman gave also. We put out, we really run up the big bill every month on printing. And you're telling me it's not necessary. So let me check on the ones that really want it. And then change those them to email.
I'm all for that. We may not even need that new machine we're looking to buy.
Being back on track here, Chelsea, you want to do away with the paper trail with the department heads on it?
Right.
Okay.
After he checks with you.
Right, and my suggestion would be that, you know, that's a great idea, but if there's something that's pertinent to that department, they need to have it in email and in
the book. That would be impossible. But you can't ask the clerk to return and pick out, they can look at the email.
But each department head should be able to pick out what it needs and
they can print their own, or they can come in and get information. But the email will tell them everything we know.
Well, the clerk is the one who actually puts this together, and I certainly don't know why she couldn't send anything that she thinks is pertinent to a department head. You got, what, 18 items here or something like this? You know, reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
And those, you know, very few of the department head items. John had two items. All right, y'all want to take a 10-minute recess, folks, and we'll start a new business.
Briefly about it, and certainly
I'm saying that it's. Well, basically, it's a new state requirement.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
So you ready?
When the senator starts shaking here.
Zooming? They just handed me this stuff. Yeah.
Number one, any new business? Committee vacancy appointments and resignation. We have a resignation from Michelle Hatton from the Marketing Advisory Committee. Yep. Y'all accept Michelle's resignation? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
And we have a appointment request from Joan Van Ham, who would like to serve on the Marketing Advisory Committee. And you have the form in your package. Anyway, I'd like to make a motion to appoint.
I made a motion to appoint.
It's on the back of.
Yeah.
It's on page 108. It's a little vague.
Is this the recommendation from the committee? The committee interviewing both according to our procedures?
I have seen nothing in the committee's.
Is Anne still here?
Yes.
Is this the committee's recommendation for the appointment? And did y'all, did we advertise for the position?
Yes.
That one yes?
Or is that yes and yes?
We advertised for the position, and yes, we did.
Y'all met with?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
I was absent at the meeting. That's how you spell it.
Motion that we accept the appointment as recommended by the committee.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is discussion and consideration of expanding the Economic Development Study Committee. Mr. Botter?
Yep.
Y'all have not met in the last 4 months?
The council actually
put it on hold.
I would say put it on hold since last November.
Is there a recommendation from council to continue with this committee since we've asked the other committees to digest what they came up with as far as economic revenue streams? Would you like to continue this? Would you like to?
I think the original idea behind suspending it rather than expanding it was to let the other committees look at what they had done, come back to the council with recommendations based on that and previous studies, and then that if we needed to reconstitute the Economic Development Committee, that we could.
Anybody see a need to reconstitute?
I think they did a great job, and I think their mission statement in and of itself, they're mission statements have been accomplished, and we've had the discussions from the other committees.
That's the part I think is really neat. We did such a great job that we got all of our work farmed out to other committees and kept this standing. I guess it tells you to watch what you're saying when you're in a committee. That's what I mean by that.
Make sure you show up in a committee.
Well, first of all, well, go ahead and do what you're.
Me?
Yes, sir.
No, I would just like to thank the committee for the work that they've done. And I think that the other committees have digested. I just make a suggestion that we go ahead and let it fade away.
Watch it. I tried that with beautification.
Yeah, that's what I did.
we discussing this?
Is your motion? Is there a motion to?
No, I'm not making a motion.
Well, we need to make a motion before we discuss it.
Oh, okay, well then.
I would like to make a motion to disband the Economic Study Committee. And do I have a second? Lack of second discussion. No discussion. All right, item number three. And Barry, you're up first with the signings. Did Casey give you the rest of the email stuff?
No, I don't know that I did. I may have gotten them on my computer, but not had a chance to.
Does that mean that the committee's back on and we should start holding meetings again and rejoin the council with our mission statement revised for 2010-11 and become part of the budget process as well?
I wouldn't say that it went that far. No.
But we should meet. I just want to know what we should do. Should I tell the members that we're on hold and we're going to be on hold for a long period of time until there's a new mayor, a new council?
We're back to the Twilight Zone, buddy.
Twilight Zone, good.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
That's
for all of you Catholics out there, this is the definition of limbo.
Jim,
we don't want to hear it.
Okay, so that means you're able to be on three more committees?
I'm not allowed to be on committees. Like my committee can't be.
So now you want to be on one of my committees now? Or you?
I don't think I'd be accepted.
Okay. I think I'm so confused, but go ahead.
Thanks. Yes, Barry, you were talking about
something. Well, my only thought was that perhaps as the planning and zoning goes farther ahead with their form base and overlay planning, that perhaps they may interact with some economic development type of recommendations. I mean, I would like to see that some sort of economic development direction go forward.
One of the things they were asked to do to incorporate what they found into their work, and I think we're going to have they're asking for a meeting to clarify some of the things we have to do. Yes, sir.
That is true from a planning and zoning, but if I could kind of speak to economic development as a private citizen, this is what I teach at the university. I'm a professor of economic development, regional and local economic development. In my opinion, economic development is a different issue. I mean, clearly there's overlap with planning and zoning and the other committees, but it is fundamentally a different issue. It can be looked at from really two different things. One, in terms of identifying revenue streams, which obviously is a very important issue right now for the town. And there's a number of things that can be done in terms of examining that and trying to encourage, being able to look at maybe tweaking some things to enhance the revenue streams to the town. The other thing is economic development from a kind of a local area in terms of not only the business community, but the residential areas and so forth. And again, a number of things that can be looked at that. I think that planning and zoning feeds upon the findings of some of, combination of one or both of those two issues. So I would be, from a planning and zoning perspective, a little hesitant about trying to fold all the economic development objectives into the planning and zoning process. I really do think there is a fundamentally separate and important aspect of economic development in one of the combination of things.
I think kind of what my idea was that economic and development might be a subcommittee of planning and planning and zoning, and planning and zoning have an umbrella effect over the economic development.
I think that would be fine. I mean, that's certainly the wish of the council for that. But I wouldn't say planning and zoning is also economic development.
No.
Now kind of break it up into four or five different committees. I really think there needs to be a separate entity that looks at economic development issues.
Right. But my feeling is they need to be integrated somewhat.
Sure, absolutely.
And that perhaps economic development should be somewhat underneath planning and zoning so they could both work together.
Barry, to your very point, the committee, when we were in operation for that year, we had two members of a nine-person committee were planning and zoning. So we wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying.
Thank you, sir.
Any other discussion? So the consensus of what you're saying is you think you want a subcommittee on in planning and zoning?
Well, I would ask planning and zoning to explore that idea. I don't know that I would make that recommendation right now. I would like planning and zoning to explore that as a possibility and then make their recommendations back to the council.
Well, we have a recommendation under number 9 to have a joint work session with the town council. So when we get to that, that'll be a valid discussion. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, now that Barry number 3, discussion consideration of the hour of DOT signage.
When this first came up, there wasn't a whole lot of time given before this was brought before the Carolina Beach Council. And I was a little upset because we, again, were not exactly given any sort of an opportunity to give our input into it as a town. Nancy, on the following Monday morning before, sent out an email on our listserv, and we had a tremendous response. I forget how many, I don't know, probably over 70 or 80.
Maybe 60, and then we had
a separate petition from signed by 19 of the different merchants, and there was some pro and some con. I think that primarily the pro was the business, and they wanted, rightly so, I would think, to have the traffic that would be rerouted from Carolina Beach's business district to be rerouted to ours. But the problem comes, as I see it, is that on Dow Road, we've got a very narrow road. We've got people on bicycles trying to use it. We've got, at night, deer trying to get killed. So if that road is rerouted, or if the sign's rerouted, the traffic, I think it would be imperative that we somehow get at least some kind of a bicycle path to get the bikes off that road so there are no major deaths, amongst other things.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I didn't say it. Yeah, it won't happen if we don't try.
Well, talking to DOT, and Mr. Pope, I think, has been pretty straightforward with any discussions he's had with them. It'll cost $2,000 for the sign and $1 million for the bike route. And with the state's budget and the mess it's in right now, he said, you figure out what's going to happen.
Well, I understand it's going to cost $500,000 to redo the road debacle in Carolina Beach if they were to put it back to the way it was.
They voted not to put it back. So
I mean, maybe we could spend that $500,000 on the...
Not hours to spend. Barry and I attended the thing. Oh, Judy?
No, Ann.
Yeah.
Not yet. I have a question, and maybe I missed some of this, and I apologize, we've just been a little busy, but we were talking about ROT taxes. And I, earlier, and I'm thinking, okay, where's ROT coming from? It's coming from our businesses. So if you're rerouting, you're already knocking out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hotels if we reroute. So I'm trying to think of how much are those 6 hotels coming in of the taxes that we just talked about in section number 2 if we reroute. And I must have missed these emails because I certainly would have given you my opinion. routing out, because we do get a large percentage of foot traffic. And again, all the 6 hotels that are on the north side of K, that's really going to kind of put a damper on our traffic. And then going back to ROT, we're talking about, okay, we have this amount of money. We're going to lose a lot of that money that we think we have because your businesses are going to lose their foot traffic.
I addressed the town council and I had the emails with me, and my discussions with them were that we appreciated them asking, and they did ask for our input.
I almost missed it too.
The emails were running 2-1 against putting signage up, and they also discussed in their town council meeting ways to bring the traffic down Dow Road and then go down Cape Fear Boulevard. Let me finish my discussion. Okay. New Ocean Boulevard.
Okay.
They were going to go down Harper or Cape Fear 1 and try to direct traffic going back to the north end. That was, I was going, where did this come from?
I got you.
So they're upside down with what they're doing. Fury Beach has tried for a decade or two, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, to try to get a sign that says Fury Beach.
Correct.
We've always wanted a sign, or the town's wanted a sign. But the baggage that will come with that sign is what we went up there to discuss. Talking with Mr. Pope when he was in discussions with Mr. Keener, that he said any signage that we requested, that Carolina Beach, and like I said, he's a stray shooter, had always followed us to have a Fury Beach sign. Now that the traffic pattern, as they call it, a traffic diet, has turned out to be not as pretty as they thought it would be, that this was an option to try to get some of the traffic rerouted through Carolina Beach. And I was really surprised that there were only one person who stood up in opposition to it from Carolina Beach.
Wow.
Yes, Steve.
At one point in time, they were actually talking about making that a one-way loop. As traffic came over the bridge, over Snowscut Bridge, you would turn right onto Dow, come back on either Harper or Cape Fear Boulevard,
and then
would bring it back through Carolina Beach, going one way to the north.
The coming back to Carolina Beach wasn't as important to a gym as getting the $40 pops going to the north end. That's their mindset, is to get people, and when their new road diet, where you have to turn left at the end of it, it's just been a mess. But that's exactly part of what they were trying to do. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they've raised that $40 pop to $100 pop.
Well, that's a revenue source I wish we had. Yes, sir.
But the discussion of the economics, this is exactly why we need an economic development committee, because when we talk about how much is going to be diverted to the local business or away from the local business, or how much comes by the drive-by traffic versus destination sort of visits and so forth. We're just kind of speculating. I mean, it's all speculation. We really don't know. And this is exactly the sort of thing that an economic development committee could study and investigate and come and advise the council with some good data and some good research before we start debating these very important issues. I mean, maybe it's a pure safety issue and not even an economic issue in terms of diverting around.
True.
That was kind of what, when Dean and I went up there, there was no study at all done on any of this. Absolutely none. And we went up there, Dean went up there and addressed them and showed them what we had. And it was like well, I'm not going to say what I felt like, but we kind of were blown up, swept under the table, so to speak, putting it politely.
Getting back to it, and so I think Tim mentioned Ocean Boulevard. Ocean Boulevard belongs to them. We had nothing to do with that. They didn't want to. We can make a recommendation, but what they wanted to do to Ocean was put, they want to put the south end of Carolina Beach. That's how they would flag that, like Jim was talking about. But getting back to what Barry said, they have not done a road study, and it's, I don't know when they would even get around to doing the signage, but right now it's so preliminary. I would like to get some more input from the citizens, because this is a double-edged sword. It's convenient to have a sign that says Security Beach, but the downside of it is our little road that we use, our little pig path, you know, to get where we want to go quickly, may not be there anymore. Yes, Tommy.
That road gets so bad. Last weekend, I saw people speeding down. I'm serious. It's getting to where this is going to happen.
Boom, that happens pretty often on it now.
It does. It needs to be addressed back to that deal.
So where does this stand? I mean,
they have recommended to move forward with it, but they've not done a DOT study. My recommendation would be to stay it until they had a traffic pattern study by DOT.
I'm confused. Will DOT put up the signs just based on their request?
That's what they're hoping is going to happen.
Because I thought some of the signs that they put up here in the security.
Yes, that's
that was our recommendation.
Yeah. When you talked to Alan Pope, did you ask him if they were going to act on Carolina Beach's recommendation alone? Because I would think that the DOT, especially the way they are, that they would be unlikely to do something without, you know, some kind of
which is in preliminary stages, but you know, like Barry said, safety issue. Every negative email we got had something to do with safety issue or might some danger on Dow Road. And when I asked that, you know, him, he said, we can put up signs for $2,000. The bypass will cost $1,000,000. Which one do you think we're going to do?
Well, if that's going to be the case, we might want to consider drafting a resolution of our own.
That's what was on discussion for tonight. I mean, my recommendation was until they do a comprehensive study, traffic flow study, you know, not to move forward with anything.
Right. Should we do that in the form of a resolution?
I'd like to make the motion.
I mean, we've got a meeting. We've got to have another meeting anyway, soon, though.
But, I mean, like I said, the reason I put it on the agenda, I would, you know, like to make a recommendation that they do a you know, comprehensive traffic study before they move forward with anything. And they've not done that.
I'll second the motion.
Well, I mean, I think we could be as simple as just asking the mayor to draft a letter to the DOT telling them that we would prefer they not proceed on Carolina Beach's action until there's been a study, which is in the town. Both towns have a chance to concur on it.
And the letter, you know, like Tim said, the letter would say that we think it's premature without doing a comprehensive traffic pattern study before we discuss any more about sign or even sign placement. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Judy, yes, ma'am.
Yes, I.
And I know that's why you're here tonight. Sorry,
no, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. So I agree with you, and I'm happy to hear that you know you would draft or do a resolution of you know stating that because I. But I would also maybe like to suggest that you included that before any action is taken. Too, I really think there should have been some public meetings held. Both either in Carolina Beach or Curie or one of the two, because quite frankly, I expected this room to be full tonight. I don't know where everybody is, but it's kind of like the old bicycle path. I don't think a whole lot of people knew what was going on until it was too late. But I am concerned that, you know, Carolina Beach, has, in my opinion, has made a terrible mistake. Two wrongs don't make a right.
I do not think
we need to let them proceed affecting our
Well, in this case, you need to pretty much preach it to the choir. I'd like to have a Curie B sign, but, you know, that's nice, but
a lot of damage comes with it.
Yeah, the damage that comes with it.
Well, and as one of my friends said last night, too, you know, over the years, I mean, the object sort of has been to keep tourism in your down by your business district. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this is just contrary to that whole idea. And, you know,
well, the
people in the north, yeah.
I was absolutely surprised that they had there. And the only lady who spoke against it actually works, she's paid, I think, by the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. She's a lady that sits in the front Chamber of Commerce area, and you may have her name, passed out the brochures. It's not Amy or Gail, it's the other lady.
No,
but she's the only one spoke against it.
But, well, again, I think it might be a little a matter of ignorance.
I just think we need to let the others know that we have some concerns, and we don't think that we need to jump, you know, through any hoops, because they have they've made a diet that they can't live with.
It's really interesting that every single one of their issues is because of their traffic pattern. No other reason.
Exactly. This wouldn't have come up except for them, and they shouldn't be screwing up our lives because of their mistakes.
Thank you, Judy.
Okay. Any other discussion? If we vote on the letter first, all in favor, single say aye. I'll draft the list.
Aye.
Thank you. Item A under this is Jim and Craig. In the discussions with Mr. Pope, they have a TOGS plan, and it's tourist-oriented guide signs. And I've asked him, going back to the economic part, and this might be something that y'all would like to pick up on, and I've got the information here. The little signs when you're going down Interstate 40 that say McDonald's a quarter of a mile. They have a similar system like that that they could put, and Tim and I were discussing earlier down at the ferry, so when the tourists get off of the ferry, it would highlight businesses in Curie Beach. And I was going to bring this to the marketing committee. But this is available. Now, the businesses have to pay for the sign. But we can get all the information, and if y'all would like, and if y'all would like to work with Jim, if you had the time to sit in on this, I'd really appreciate it, to work with the business people and see if they'd be interested in actually highlighting the businesses in Curie Beach right when you come off the ferry. And Mr. Pope said that that's something that would be workable with them. I'll turn this over into our marketing advisory committee. And like I said, Jim, since y'all were still in limbo, if you had the time, I would appreciate you working with it. Thanks. And whenever your garden tomatoes get ready. Item number four, Southern Grant Works, Mr. Dugan.
Yes, sir. The fire department worked with Diana Woolley, and last year was able to get a federal fire grant where we got all the fire gear for the whole department. Harold consulted with her when the next round of federal grants came and wanted her to write for the new grant for this grant cycle. And at that time, we found that the contract that she operated under was expired. And so we had her write up another memo of understanding. And I gave it to the mayor, thinking, as I always do, not thinking. And it missed the last meeting. And because of the need for all of us to okay the memo of understanding so that Harold can go forward with Ms. Woolley and do the grant work. The money expended for her will come out of the fire department budget. So there won't be any general fund money or unallocated money used for this. It is with, I want to make sure, it's with, because she's already started on it, it's with the understanding that it's backdated to the date that is on the 30 April 2010 that's on the request at this time.
And
any questions?
No, are you going to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Make a motion.
That we accept.
I'll second and then we'll discuss it.
Okay.
My only concern, Jim, and I don't know how this didn't get on there last time, but anyway, our fee for these services will be $75 an hour. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested, is there a close end of this thing, or, you know, the payments due at a certain date, and I have she invoices you on?
She sat down with Harold, and they estimated the total cost for the grant would be approximately $2,000.
And
the Harold City had that in his budget.
Which grant might she be going for?
We're trying to get equipment, exhaust equipment for the engines, so that when the engines are started in the building, the fumes are exhausted outside.
And none of her calls can be charged against the grant if she's successful?
Yes.
So we would pay her up to a certain time, and then those, if she's successful, those costs will be.
Well, as I understood it from talking to Harold, that it was going to be asked that her payment be part of the grant. In that case, there wouldn't be even a penny coming out of Harold's budget. But the problem is, if we don't get the grant, she's done work.
How many grants has she been successful with?
She's worked with Chuck on a number of grants, and like I said, we tried 5 years previously to get a federal fire grant unsuccessfully, and her second time out of the chute, she got it.
Gentlemen, much pleasure.
I seconded Jim's motion. I think, you know, Harold's got the money in his budget. I don't know that there's a...
Well, Harold's money's
down, John. Well, I understand.
So, I mean, you know.
I mean, what are the possibilities that you understand the chance of getting this grant?
It depends on how many people apply, how much money there is out there. It's how well you write the grant. Yeah. As opposed to how well others write their grants. Like I said, we tried for 5 years and didn't get one. So,
Were you paying her for 5 years? And runs
no, we tried for 5 years.
Yourselves until you started, she was successful. All right. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
There you go.
Thank you. Don't make me go back to Harold.
Just hold her. That's right, but they had bad knees, you couldn't chase each other anymore.
Only one. I gave you all a handout at the start of the meeting. And first of all, this one right here. It's a memo in 3 pages. I want to apologize first of all because we're a little bit behind on the budget schedule. The original idea was to have a draft of the budget that we could present to y'all tonight for review. We had a work session last week, and we had about a $600,000 gap in the budget between revenues and expenditures in the general fund. Since then, we've worked to refine the numbers. We have an attachment of what the revised numbers look like, and we've closed that gap to about $400,000. The biggest change has been reduction from $203,000 to $55,000 in the administration fund. Some of that money has been redistributed to the clerk's office and to the finance office, reflecting the changes in there. There may be some other possibilities that we're going to have to look at.
On the revenue side, we reduced the amount estimated for interest income from the previous budget. So we've still got some work to do on this, and what I'd like to ask the council to do tonight is schedule another work session for Friday, May 28th, to review a final draft. Between now and then, I'll work with the department heads and individual council members and finance staff to come up with some alternate ways to balance the budget. One thing that we talked about in the work session, and I'd ask everybody to do, is look at any suggestions that y'all have for cutting things. And the other thing that some people have to talk about is how much of the fund balance surplus from last year that we want to bring forward and appropriate as part of this budget. So the first suggestion is that we have another work session so that we can all sit down together and go over another draft. The second suggestion would be to continue the next council meeting to Tuesday, June 1st, so that after we finish on the 28th, we can present a final budget and a budget message to the council by June 1st, which is the deadline mandated by the statute. We already have scheduled a final work session on June 10th that was supposed to be just finalizing every detail. We can decide on June 1st if that is still needed. Then we've already scheduled a public hearing on June 15th, and we plan could then adopt the budget for June 15th meeting.
Okay, well, the first work session is when?
It will actually be the third work session that we've had, Barry. We had
one. I'm sorry. In the next one.
It'll be Friday, May 28th. We've been doing it at 10 in the morning.
I know. That's kind of inconvenient.
Well, it's inconvenient for me too, but it's also it's better for the staff. If you want to change it, we can.
A little later in the afternoon.
Okay.
Your recommendation is to continue this meeting to June 1st?
Yes, sir. 6:30? Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. What time? Which date are you talking about? 6:30.
June 1st. It's a Tuesday.
June 1st.
Isn't that planned as well?
Why would
that? We can do it at a different time.
Jim, will you wait a second? What Tim said, the June 1st meeting and working with staff, which is what we need to do. I mean, I could see it needs to be doing regular working hours. I think not 6:30.
That's,
yeah,
you have already
been
in
that
thing.
Yeah,
well,
I'm going from memory, so that's always dangerous, but. I thought that last year's expenditures were somewhere around 2.6, roughly. And this year's expenditures are projected at this point in time before you do the workshops at 2.9. And I was just wondering, would it be helpful for the workshop as people come to look at that and observe the ongoings of the workshop that you identify where that $300,000 increase is? Might be helpful.
Yeah, actually, at the work session that we had last week, we had a copy of the 2009-2010 budget ordinance. The general fund expenditures in 2009-2010 were $2,861,000. So what we're proposing this year is a slight increase over that. But again, this also includes... like I say, these are the departmental requests exactly as we got them. We haven't gone through there and checked on any of those things yet. And that's what we've been asking the council to do, is go through them and look at things that they might want to change. So there is a slight increase over last year, Jim, but that's something that I think that we can easily work out.
Tim, one of the things that I noticed on the workshop document, there wasn't a line entry item for the park mortgage. It just wasn't on the work document unless it was someplace within the numbers. Is that in here now?
It's on this. If you look under general fund expenditures, the last item, capital projects, Oceanfront Park, a payment of $114,906.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Is that interest and principal?
That's the total payment due in December of this year. Yes, sir.
What time is the 28th?
Yeah, let's go back over to
28th. You set up on 2?
Yeah. We can do this in an hour.
I hope so. Y'all will do your homework between now and then.
And the next one is June 1st.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
June 10th was originally scheduled when we scheduled all these back in February at 10 a.m. If you go back, we adopted a schedule of budget meetings on actually at the January 19th meeting. We scheduled three work sessions, one on April 15th, one on May 13th, and one on June 10th.
I'm just asking what time it will be June 10th.
They were all scheduled for 10 a.m., so unless you want, that's what it is, unless you want to change.
It says if it all goes well on the 1st, you may not have the 10th.
You could borrow.
I thought we were talking about changing it to the 2 o'clock.
The one on the 28th is 2 o'clock.
Okay.
The one on the 1st is 2 o'clock. The one on the 10th, if we want to change it, we can. But we may not even have to have that meeting depending on how things go.
Okay.
So let's wait until the 1st, and we can decide then if we even going to have it.
Works for me. I just want to get my dates.
The 15th will be at 5:30.
15th will be at 5:30, yes, sir. We'll hear it in advance. Okay. And all of those were scheduled back in January.
Okay, one of them must do it since your mandate.
Yeah.
We get into that. Any other questions? Jim, FYI, we have signed a contract with Air Force Base, which is a little bit, you know, there will be a real revenue stream this year. So if they get the stuff back and do the tap, so.
Well, that's all in water and sewer. Water and sewer is in pretty good shape.
Yeah. We, I think Tim's discussions with Sunny Water and Sewer, unless Carolina Beach throws us a curve, is a pretty good check.
I'd like to make a motion that we schedule these meetings as we've discussed.
Nancy, did you get all that job?
Uh-huh, I did.
And you have a copy of this.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, item 7. Andy, you're going to have to shoot from the hip here. Casey,
number 6.
That was moved.
I'm sorry.
No, 6, I thought it was moved to behind 9.
No, 6 yeah. Under old business was moved.
6
under
new business. 6 under new. Sorry, Ken.
Okay. I handed y'all this memo before the meeting started. The folks on the Citizens Budget and Finance Advisory Committee are concerned that using their personal email accounts to discuss committee business among themselves would subject their email account to the public records law. They asked if it is possible for the committee members to have town email accounts that they can use only for committee or town business. Talked with Steve Woodard about this. He said under VC3 or whatever it is, we could set up town email accounts for as many people as we'd like. He told me, or I understood him to say, that the cost was around $3 per email address per year. Nancy checked with him today, and it's $3.
That's what Dale said, and he's our rep.
$3 per email address per month.
Per month, that's what he told me.
Which, if we did it for all of the committees who members who were concerned about it, it would start getting pretty expensive.
What? Don't want to muddy the waters, but what, if any, implications does this have for our other committees here in this evening?
Well, that's why the last thing I say down here, if we decide to proceed with this, we need to draft a policy governing the use of town email accounts for the committee members, because if we're going to offer it to one committee, we have to offer it to everybody. Which, if it was $3 a year, you know, and we got 50 committee members, it might be worth it, you know, but if it's $3 a month for each one, I'm not sure it's worth it. But they were just concerned that if there was a request for emails, you know, somebody might subpoena their hard drive or something.
Andy, are you aware of any way that committee members can be using email, their regular email accounts, and some of the stuff be business emails that are open to review, that their personal stuff could be protected?
They do have a system, but I'm a technophobic when it comes to this stuff. But I understand that it can be separated. There is a methodology of doing that.
Because I think Casey was talking earlier this week, and she said something like just seeing something that sounded as simple as seeing that every copy of the email was sent to the town clerk or to a town office or something, that that somehow, I don't know, I'm like Andy.
Well, what I'd like to do then is suggest that we refer this to somebody who knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And come back to us with a recommendation.
Well, and the other thing I think we need to look at is see what the rules are as far as what makes a meeting with people emailing back and forth.
Yeah, we need to check on that regardless, because
a lot of emails coming around.
Well, we already had. I think that you cannot. I can email each one of you, but I can't. You can't answer to everybody. In other words, we can't have a conversation. But I can do it to you. You can do it. I can do it to him.
Okay.
But you can't have a conversation for everybody on the list. I mean,
are you saying that when I get emails from some of my members, that's not the right thing to do, or you have to find that out? Is that what we're talking about? Did I understand that one right?
Meeting all that's
no.
Because I get emails from people from my committee that's telling me things about the committee. Now, is that right?
Are you? How many of you are on that correspondence at the same time?
Oh, it's just like one person emailing me, and then they might email somebody else the same questioner.
If there's three or more of you corresponding to each other regarding the subject matter at the same time, you're having a meeting.
I see what you're saying. Okay, that'll never happen.
Yeah.
So my motion is that we table this.
Second.
Until we get some guidance from the
whole panel. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Mr. Canoe, since Casey is not here, if you'd like to.
Yeah, this next one is regarding House Bill 1452. As you know, in 2009, the legislature, in its infinite wisdom, saw fit to require boards to have ethics courses, 2 hours of ethics, so that you can be in compliance with the law. And you must adopt a resolution, which they have 5 things here, which I read them, and it says to me, this is the oath of office that you took. it's ridiculous, but that's the law. But it has to be implemented by, your course has to be finished, and you have to have your code of ethics in place by January 1, 2011.
Well, I think we all,
For us have our certification, Jim.
Yeah. You do? Okay. Well, then you're up to date on that. So I guess all we need to do now is come up with a sample code to adopt. Well, and we're in business. I thought we'd already done this, but I guess not.
On the back of the handout, there is a description of a book from the School of Government titled The Model Code of Ethics for North Carolina Local Elected Officials with Guidelines and Appendix.
We need to get it.
So what I would like to do is make a motion that we authorize the clerk to purchase that book and then direct the attorney to use it as a basis for drafting the model.
I think we already have 4 of those books.
Now, the Model Code of Ethics?
I think with the opinions, yeah.
No, it was only published in April 2010.
One week ago.
I have not seen it.
Certified by the same thing.
It just, it says it was, it's, it wasn't even out until April of 2009. If we have it, we won't buy it again, but if we don't have it, authorize the clerk to spend $30 and get it.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, Chris Manning with the Caper Council of Governments tried to do a PDF on this and for some reason. It only came through with an odd number of pages. It didn't include the even number, so yeah. He was going to get it back to Casey Rather, and that's why Rather buying it. He will download it and it will have it. So,
well, I think the first rule of the ethics code is don't violate copyright law. we're not going to suborn theft of intellectual property rights, are we?
Well, once you adopt this, now you can censure each other.
The very fact that the state of North Carolina is asking us to adopt a code of ethics in and of itself is ridiculous.
If they knew you, they'd realize how ridiculous it is.
You love me like a brother, right?
I love you like a brother. You should have that banner put out. Somebody second the motion.
I second the motion.
Yeah. Yeah. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Item number 8, make a motion to table.
Make a motion to table.
Certainly. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Item number 9, recommendation for planning and zoning commission schedule a joint workshop. Travis, you like to?
Yeah, we've been asked, of course, to kind of prioritize our activities relevant to, I believe, the Sawyer study. It was our general feeling that, you know, I think that P&Z has some real talent on P&Z that are fairly skilled and knowledgeable about the sort of tools that are out there. In terms of planning, zoning, design, form-based planning, overlay districts, you know, all the sort of things, sign ordinances, and so forth. And when you actually start looking at these studies from a P&Z perspective, it's an inordinate amount of work to be able to, because most of the stuff is going to be ordinance-driven in terms of the implementation, but it's really an awful lot of work without some, I think, direction as to prioritizing what the council may think is most important that we want to look at first. Now just as an example, we're still only partially completed in terms of the adoption of the sign ordinance. We have some prohibited signs, but now we plan on coming back with some other recommendations in terms of signs. Well, again, you know, by looking at the Sawyer plan, that would influence perhaps what we may want to recommend for that. Again, there's form-based planning, there's design issues, you know, do you want to look at all of the B1 district or just maybe a test area first and so forth. So what we would recommend is before we kind of sally forth and spend an awful lot of time looking at these issues, that we can all get together and maybe chat about some prioritizing of the issues in terms of what you think would be most important. Some of the issues may involve some cost, for example, a recommendation to start a study of buried power lines. And we're at a point really right now where there's a cost associated with having the power company come in and actually do a preliminary kind of cost of that sort of thing. It actually costs money to get a cost estimate. So, you know, those sort of things is we would recommend that we have a chance to sit down with the council, kind of work through some of the priority issues related to sort of things that we've talked about so we can, you know, start moving ahead of the highest priority things.
Is there consensus of the council, planning and zoning, Craig, that this is planning and zoning work, or do y'all think you're getting too far left?
No, this is clearly planning and zoning work. Once you have a kind of an image or a model of what you want Curie Beach to look like, the implementation of that clearly is a P&Z issue, because it's all going to be basically ordinance-based. And most of those ordinance will be a P&Z type of ordinance. You know, I mean, again, everything from sign ordinances to overlay districts to form-based to design aspects of the form-based planning, all those sort of things are part of the P&Z. But again, when you kind of look at the full package of the ordinance and the implementation issues, that's an awful lot of work. And so we'd like to have a little bit of agreement in terms of the prioritization of the effort.
Do you all have a suggested date other than before you...
Well, we recommend doing it before our next meeting. I just kind of did an informal question of one. I haven't asked Ann yet. We could possibly do it during our June 1st meeting, maybe right before or something like that. It might be a little bit easier. The reason is because we're going to have two members absent from the July meeting, I believe. So we'd like to kind of get some ideas about what the direction may be so we can decide on our June 1st meeting with a little bit more direction as to where we want to go.
Yes, Barry.
Would it be possible, since we're having a June 1st meeting at 2 o'clock, which would be prior to the P&Z meeting at 6:30, that we might be able to schedule something at that time or somewhere in that neighborhood?
It would have to be about 3:30, either 3 o'clock or 3:30 for me. I have some school classes.
Okay. I've not got a problem with it, but I don't know about the rest of the county. Mm-hmm.
What time?
I'd say 3 o'clock. And we just checked with three of the members, and we should be available at 3 o'clock on that.
Well, we got it starts at 2, so 3 would be right on the button.
Who else is meeting? Where would we meet here?
Yeah.
We meet in the council. We'll meet in the room 3, the flat at 5. We'll meet in the room that day. You can use your council. We'll meet. Our two committees will meet in the room. That's fine.
Remember, we also have the community center we can use.
I think it's cutting it a little short. 2 and 3.
I mean, whatever works for you. I mean, it's fine. 3:30 to 4 would be fine with me.
I mean, 4 o'clock would be fine with me too. I don't know, Pam.
Yeah, I can make it. Yeah,
4 would be better.
4 o'clock, yeah.
Get a little cushion in there.
Sure. That would allow me to get out.
If we were moving along with our finances, for sure.
Yeah. Give us a little slack in case we run beyond our
time. That's the reason I suggested 3 o'clock was over time.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we schedule a meeting, a work meeting with planning and zoning for June the 1st at 4 o'clock.
Can I have a second?
Mr. Attorney, does P&Z... How do they, shouldn't they have scheduled this meeting already at their meeting?
Yeah.
I mean, because they have to, if other than their regular meetings, they have to, if they're going to have a meeting other than their regular meeting, they have to schedule that at a regular meeting.
They have to schedule it and post it.
So, when would be the earliest that we can do this then?
Unless y'all want to have a call a special meeting to schedule this.
They don't have
we could call a special meeting for June 1st, but...
There's no provisions for y'all to call a special meeting unless you're already in one of your regular meetings.
Well, no, we did that with the parking issue. I think that was called...
I can call.
By somebody else. I mean, we were just giving a special... Yeah, you called a special meeting.
Authorize them to do it. Away they go.
All right.
So where are we standing?
6:01
4:00 Joint work session. Okay. P&Z.
There you go.
We had a first. I need a second.
Right.
Sorry.
No, we had a second.
No. Thank
just
you.
Just that. Peter, second.
Okay.
All in favor, single was saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you.
That's okay. You can call it.
I'll email.
I want my son to go into executive session pertaining to personnel.
Second.
All in favor, signal saying aye.
Aye.
Back in a minute.
Now, should I stay till you guys adjourn? Do you come back in?
Yeah, we'll have to go back.
That's fine. I'll just hang out.
The
number 18.
Yes.
I would think your marketing meeting would want to do some looking for that.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Hey, hey.